Church, say amen.
Amen.
I am just thrilled to be here tonight. I hope that you are, and you don't sound sulky, so you must feel good about being here tonight. It is always a privilege to open up the book of God and to look for a word from the Lord in our various circumstances in which we find ourselves here in this world. This world is not our home. But the fact of the matter is, we are here.
Yes, sir.
And while we're here, we need the counsel of God to help us deal with everything that goes on here.
Yes, sir.
We've come together tonight to look at another portion of the Word of God to help us deal with life circumstances, to help us deal with the day-to-day living of a child of God, the challenges, the things that we have to face by way of satanic attack, the battles we have to face by way of other individuals in this world, the continuous struggles that we have from within and without. We are pilgrims trying to find our way through, to find God's light and follow that light so that at the end of our sojourn here, we'll be able to hear the Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I'm again appreciative to Elijah for the invitation to be here, to this fine church for hosting me once again. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you and for your love for the Lord and for your love for those seeking to carry out and present his message.
Yes, sir.
I'm so grateful tonight to see Brother Peter Moss.
Yes, sir.
Good friend of mine, dynamic preacher.
Yes, sir.
Good friend, dynamic preacher, encourager. A man continuing on the battlefield for Jesus Christ. I thank God for him. I'm also grateful to see Brother Bush tonight. Wonderful to see him in our audience this evening. We appreciate him for his work's sake. And all of the other gospel preachers that are here, we want to let you know we're glad you're here. We hope and trust that we'll be able to all be motivated in God's word as we study together tonight.
Yes, sir.
The matter of marriage, this is the kind of thing we've been talking about, marriage and the home, and I want to let you know tonight that the matter of marriage often finds itself on the hearts and minds of God's people.
Right.
This should be no surprise to us, because marriage is the union that God considers the normal union. God designed marriage to be a life blessing for his human creation. We were created as relational beings, beings with a need for intimacy and social interaction. We seek to know and to be known. And no greater human-to-human union has been designed than the marriage union. Therefore, we should not be surprised by a yearning to be with somebody, particularly somebody of the opposite sex. However, it is interesting that we see a challenge when it comes to finding somebody. We find that the finding of that special someone has become a source of angst among many Christians. Seemingly, we have come to an era where we find that the opposite sex or somebody we want is like looking in the land of the missing. Many are indiscriminately looking for love, and some are accepting and settling for much less. The situation is challenging, and to some, it seems nearly hopeless. But there is a word from the Lord. Now, the R&B groups, Blue Magic and Main Ingredient, put out a song that we're using as a title tonight. We want to lift from the inspired word in a few different texts tonight and taking advantage of that old time tune, the subject, "I Just Don't Want to Be Lonely." Perhaps you remember some of the lyrics. "I don't mind when you say that you're going away. I just don't want to be lonely. I don't care if we only share only moments a day. I just don't want to be lonely. I want to be loved and needed, depending on someone to care for and to be cared for." And so this idea that we feel is that I just don't want to be lonely. Well, when we look at this situation tonight across the city of Birmingham, across Birmingham Metro, and even here in Roosevelt City. We look at the tail of the tape, and the tail tells us a sad story. Nationally, when we look at the numbers in America concerning couples, we see a sad story. Don't you know that only 48% of Americans are now married? Only 48% nationally of the households are husband and wife. That's what I'm talking about. Don't you know that cohabitation has increased by 41% since the year 2000? People are choosing to do without marriage and just live together. Brother Brown, is that something that's just for the world? No, I'm finding folk in the church that are dealing with this living together situation. Don't you know that in this country, we have had a 15% singles people being single in 1960, but in 2000, that number went up to 26%. More and more people are seeking somebody, but seemingly not able to find that somebody. And then I took a moment to look at what was happening in Roosevelt City. And I found that in Roosevelt City, the marital status is very interesting. Only 36% of the people are married and 64% are single. That is a staggering statistic right here in this locality. But not only that, in Birmingham Metro, the number changes. You have a 71% marriage rate in Birmingham Metro, and still, that is a low number when you consider the other percentage that are looking but unable to find. We have a situation tonight that frustrates men and frustrates women. It frustrates the people who have never been married. It frustrates the people that have been married and lost that marriage, but are seeking to marry again. It frustrates those that have been divorced, but want to be married again. It frustrates those that have lost their loved ones due to death and want to be married again. You see, we got folk in our pew that simply are saying, I just don't want to be lonely. I hear you preaching about marriage. I see the preacher and his wife, and I see the elders and their wives, and I'm so envious of the fact that they seem happy. They don't have to go home Sunday night and sit around and eat a TV dinner while watching the news by themselves. They don't have to go home on Wednesday night and flick through the news and have nobody there. They don't have to depend on a dog or a cat or a roach or a rat to keep them company. I just don't want to be alone. This is the cry of so many that are in the pews in the Lord's kingdom. And as I said, there is a word from the Lord. I direct your attention right now to 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. I want to extract some principles from 1 Corinthians number 7 to help us along our way tonight. There is something that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7 that I think is worthy of our consideration. Let me suggest to you tonight, let me submit to you tonight, that if you just don't want to be lonely, the first thing to do is learn your calling. Learn your calling. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, beginning at verse number 6, now as a concession, not a command, I say this, I wish that all were as I myself am, but each has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another. What are you getting at, Paul? Well, let me see if I can't break it down for you tonight. Paul is about to discuss the matter of staying single and celibate. Or getting married. Let me run that by you again. Paul is discussing the matter of staying single and celibate. Those are two separate things in the mind of God. If you're going to be single as a child of God, celibacy is an automatic in the mind of God. I'm not talking about what they say in Jeff and Ebony magazine.
I'm not talking about what they discuss in Cosmopolitan. I'm not discussing what they talk about on the talk shows or what you hear in the barbershop or the beauty salon. I'm not even talking about what you might hear in the family reunion. When it comes to the book of God, if we're going to be single, celibacy is hand in hand with it. So Paul is talking about those that are single and celibate, as opposed to those who don't want to stay single, partially because they don't want to stay celibate. Now I want you to know tonight that to stay single and celibate is a gift of God. Not everybody can do that.
That's right.
We were to take a poll, and the people that are here tonight, I know that you would see some very familiar results. Not everybody wants to stay single and celibate. Now, I know the popular trend is to want to stay single and to dance around from bed to bed. But the book of God says, if you're going to be single, be celibate. And this means we must take self-inventory and know whether or not God has blessed us with the gift to be single and celibate. Now, you don't need a miracle to figure that out. You don't need a miracle to figure that out. If your eyes are winding toward a bunch of curves as a man, you like watching the bounce, you like watching the move, you like watching the hip pop one way or another, you having a hard time containing, you're interested in the opposite sex, and I'm going to put a cord in me with that too. We're not talking about man on man or woman on woman stuff. What God is talking about, if you're a man and you're attracted to a woman sexually, you like her curves, you like her face, you like the body, you want to get with her, nothing wrong with that.
Oh, that's it.
And you need to seek marriage.
That's it.
Now, if you can't control your desires, you know you don't have that gift.
All right. You got it.
Isn't it amazing how many people today in Christian circles want to talk about miraculous gifts? Oh, I want to raise the dead. I want to be able to heal the sick. I want to be able to speak in tongues. I want to be able to do all of this stuff. And then when it comes to this particular text, where the same word, charisma, is used.
Yeah.
Ain't no miracle here. Ain't no miracle here. Brothers, if you think about a woman and you rise up, I'm trying to be very plain tonight. Then you know you do not have the gift of celibacy.
No, sir.
And you need to know that. If you are female and you get excited about a man sexually, then you know you do not have the gift of celibacy. And if you don't have the gift, then what Paul says ought to ring true. Look, I'd rather just stay single, but I recognize. Some of you can't do that. Some of you don't want to be hanging alone. And a best friend in a dog won't do. So therefore, my concession doesn't apply to you. You need to look down further in what I'm about to say.
Yes, sir.
And so we need to recognize whether or not we have the gift. Paul said, each has his own gift from God. One of one kind and one of another. Let's read a little bit further in this text. I'm going to read a little further in this text. I'm actually reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 6 through 24. I'm pulling out choice points of it. He says, only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God hath called him. This is my rule in all the churches. Was anyone at a time of his calling already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God. Watch it now. Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called, i.e., if you realize that you cannot stay sexually celibate, then you know you weren't called to be that way. And you need to seek marriage. Listen to what he says a little bit more. He's using the analogies of circumcision and even slavery. Listen to him a little further. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't be concerned about it. Watch this. But if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. Add the same concept to celibacy or getting married. If you can get married and you want to get married, go ahead and do it.
All right.
Go ahead and do it. Because you don't have the gift to be single and celibate. Am I making myself clear? So if you don't have the gift to be single and celibate, you need to seek marriage. But first, the point I want you to get is, know your calling. And then here's the second thing I want you to get. God is not overly concerned for our status, but whatever our status is, it pales in conjunction to our union with him. Now, why is this important? Because you can spend your time overly concerned about trying to find a spouse. And God doesn't want you doing that. Let me include myself. God doesn't want me doing that. You see, because regardless of whether you are single or married tonight, the most important thing isn't your status. Let me say it again. The most important thing isn't your status.
Yeah.
The most important thing is your faithfulness.
That's right.
So yes, you don't want to be lonely. I don't want to be lonely. And that's fine. God understands. And God says, check yourself. Know whether or not you're able to contain. If not, seek marriage. But when you seek marriage, don't let that be the number one goal of your life.
The
number one goal is to be faithful.
Yes.
And while you're seeking to be married,
all right,
and you're not finding right away, don't think that faithfulness now has to take a second seat while you reach out for Mr. or Mrs. Goodbar. So God is not overly concerned about your status. God is concerned about your faithfulness regardless of your status. So we need to keep that in mind. Else we will always be seeking to allow our circumstances to drive our faithfulness.
Yes, all right. Break some.
That word circumstance means things that stand around. God doesn't want the things that stand around you to drive your faithfulness.
Listen.
You're looking for a spouse. God doesn't want you so concerned about that. That success or failure drives your faith. God says it's okay to seek somebody, but don't make that the first priority. Or else you'll never be able to please me. Y'all all right? Let me go on a little bit further. Here's a second major thing I want to share with you tonight.
All right.
Learn contentment. Learn contentment. Paul wrote in Philippians, chapter number 4 and verse number 11, I've learned to be content in whatever state I find myself. I want to apply that to our subject tonight. The word learn means something you gain by skill or by instruction over time. Contentment means that I am satisfied with enough, coupled with my trust in He who supplies the need and grounded in divine strength.
All right. Now, go
here. Say it in another way. Learn to be satisfied where you are, even while seeking Because you trust that God, in his power, can strengthen you to deal with your status, regardless of what it is. I've learned to be content. Now, this is not going to happen, young folk, overnight. This is not going to happen, middle-aged folk, overnight. This ain't happening, elderly folk, overnight. It takes learning over time. The key is to recognize that God will always supply what you need. Even when it comes to intimate social interaction. Now, marriage is the goal for folk who just don't want to be alone. But on the road, then, I've got to learn contentment.
Yes.
And trust God. See, contentment can't happen without trusting in God. Contentment can never be yours or mine when we are not grounded by divine strength. This means you got to talk to God. Realistically. Y'all hear what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Lord, I don't have the gift of celibacy. I'm having a hard time.
Yes, sir.
But I'm not finding anybody right yet. Teach me to learn the skill of being satisfied in what you provide. To the point where you will strengthen me to deal with the road I have to travel for as long as I have to travel.
Yes,
God, help me. Learn contentment. Well, Paul, that's easy for you to say. Well, when Paul wrote that statement, he was in a dank, dirty, wet Roman cell. Talking about, I've learned even when I'm down here to be content. I know how to be abounding. I know how to be abased. It wasn't easy, but I've learned it. Let's go on a little further tonight. Let me submit to you a third principle for those of us who just don't want to be lonely. That third principle, keep your heart from bitterness. Now I'm going to pull on the Old Testament for this one. I remember reading about a woman by the name of Naomi. Naomi had a daughter-in-law named Ruth. She had another one named Omri. These ladies, they both lost their husbands, Naomi's sons. And Naomi's husband died. And now Naomi, who used to be known as sweetness, came back to her hometown. And you know how folk talk when you go away from home for a long while and you come back in the town, particularly if it's a small town, everybody want to talk about it. They on the telephone, they on the internet, they texting, they tweeting. They always coming back home. Oh, let's gather and check her out. See how well she did over there in the big city. And here she comes back and she doesn't have a husband. They say Naomi.
Naomi.
Don't call me that. Call me mom. Call me bitter.
Yes, sir.
Bitter.
Because God has dealt bitterly with me.
Say it, sin.
I want to extract from that text a very powerful principle. If you don't want to be lonely and you're seeking for somebody, and particularly if tonight you haven't yet to find that person, don't let your heart get bitter against God.
That's right. That's all right. That's all right, doctor.
Naomi became bitter.
Yeah.
Remember, when we let our circumstances change our attitude toward God, then we have to question whether we really understand our walk with God in the first place. Naomi became bitter against God. She said, he has dealt bitterly with me. I know people in the church don't say it out loud, but you don't have to say it out loud. Your actions speak louder than words. I remember an old song years ago by Earth, Wind, and Fire. Ain't it funny how the way you feel, it shows on your face. should come out to this program.
I just don't feel like
it. What we are often saying in circumstances of the time that I'm talking about tonight is that, God, you didn't send me who I was looking for. Mm-hmm. Or who I thought I wanted does not want me. Uh-huh. Or I thought I had the right one, but he cheated on me. Uh-huh. She cheated on me. Uh-huh. Or something along that line. And rather than get our minds right with God, we get better against God. Lord, I went to every national relationship we had for the last 20 years. I let them all know I was saying, ain't nobody called me yet. I went to all the singles. I even made up Vistaprint cards and gave out 250. Nobody called me yet. Lord, you must not care about me. You know good and well I'm not celibate, and you know I don't have the gift of celibacy, and because you haven't blessed me with somebody, the next pair of pants I see. The next skirt I see. We're going to get busy. And it's your fault. You see how the devil messes with us?
Yeah.
He told Naomi, you lost your husband, and it's God's fault.
Yeah.
Don't you let your heart get bitter against the Lord. And let me tell you, I'm telling you what I know. It's easy to happen. When I lost my wife, the first thing the devil said is God's fault. It's God's fault.
Yes, sir.
You've been trying to preach the gospel.
Yeah.
Lead a Christian life.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Raise your family right.
Yeah.
And God did this to you.
Come around.
It's God's fault.
Said.
And he didn't just say it one time.
All right.
Can I tell you, he just stopped saying it about a year ago? It's God's fault.
Said.
And he'll say it as long as you give him time to say it. And unless and until we get our minds wrapped around the nature of God and who he is, we will fall victim to Satan's voice and we'll walk away from God. We won't say it, but we're saying it on our hearts. Lord, it's your fault. That's why I don't have anybody. Brown, is this something for just older folk? No, every age can fall into the trap. You let your spouse do you wrong, the devil will say, it's God's fault. Let him go step out on you. It's God's fault. Never mind Susan Q was talking to him 7 days a week and seven times on Sunday marching around him in the building, blowing the trumpet of the thigh in the breast. We're going to say it's God's fault. We've got to make sure that we do not allow our hearts to become bitter. Well, Brown, how do I stop my heart from becoming bitter? I just don't want to be lonely, but God is not doing anything. Listen to the nature of God. First of all, God is sovereign.
Yeah.
You got the whole world.
Yes,
in his hands.
Yes.
That includes you and your circumstance.
Right.
God sees you going home at night crying on your pillow. God knows you've been sending email and nobody been answering. God knows you've been just for lunch. Match.com. Black people meeting. Farmers meeting. Match and all this other stuff. E-harmony and...
Go ahead, Brown.
Brown, how you know this stuff? I know what's out there now. That stuff's all over the place.
Yes,
selling your stuff. An idea. Something unrealistic often.
Amen.
Getting you caught up meeting somebody down at a gas station somewhere who has no more good for you intended than the man on the bridge.
Yes.
God is sovereign. which means he's in control of everything.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, just before I sit down, I'm going to prove that tonight. But he is in control of everything, even this relationship. Come on,
amen.
And so when you're seeking and not finding and you're getting upset with God, remember, God is sovereign. Ain't nothing out of his control.
That's right.
All right.
Not only is God sovereign, God is love.
Yes.
God is love.
Yes, sir.
Because God is love, he will make sure that he guides you in a loving manner. Maybe Mr. Right is not Mr. Right. Maybe it's just Mr. Right now. God's trying to keep you away from that. He's sovereign. And he's love. And not only is he love and sovereign, he's gracious. Now, I don't want you to raise your hand, but don't you know? And I think I can say tonight, probably at least a percentage of us in here tonight have made some messes of ourselves.
All right. All right.
Seeking somebody.
Yeah.
Hmm? Let me encourage you, sisters. Then I'm going to encourage the brothers.
Right.
Don't be looking so hard to where you give up everything trying to get somebody.
Yeah, you're teaching.
You don't need to give up your virtue
Amen.
To get a guy. Mm. And if he takes it, you got the wrong guy.
Yes, sir. All right. Teachers, help us.
Let me encourage my brothers. You don't need to take the first sign that comes your way. Some women think of themselves as a six-pack. Two breasts, two wings, and two thighs. You don't need to settle for big old teeth. I'm saying something funny, but I'm really not telling the joke. You see, God is gracious, and I got to that by thinking some of us have already done that. But God is gracious. So rather than be bitter against God, Lord, I didn't do it your way, and I got messed up, and it's your fault, rather think, well, Lord, I'm sorry. I got impatient. I was just like Abraham and Sarah. I brought Hagar in this thing, and I shouldn't have done it. He's gracious. He's just. And he's faithful. And when we think about God that way, it'll help us from getting bitter against God. Rather than being bitter, we'll say, thank you, Lord. I haven't found the right one, but that means it's not the right time. Let me share with you one other thing, and then the lesson will be yours. Y'all all right?
Yes.
I slowed down a little tonight because I wanted to make sure this was plain. Let me share with you one more principle tonight from the scriptures. If you just don't want to be lonely, seek a mate with divine purpose at heart. Now, I have to go back now to a man by the name of Abraham and his son Isaac. You see, Isaac came of age. And it was time for Isaac to have a woman. And Abraham knew it. So he said to his servant, my boy needs a woman. I want you to go over to this place and find my boy a woman. And the servant said, Lord, I'm about to take this journey to find Isaac a wife. Here's what I want you to do. Be with me on this journey and make it so that when I get to the area I was told to go, when I find a woman and I say, give me a drink, and she says, let me give you something to drink and let me water.
talk about the sovereignty of God, don't you know it?
Yes, yes.
He went riding on down. He got into the area, yes, and he saw a woman. Her name was Rebecca.
Come on, son.
He said, looks like God's guiding me here. I told him that this is the criteria I'm looking for.
Yes,
I know he's the sovereign God of my master Abraham.
Yes.
I know he loves Abraham. And I know he loves the fact that I'm trying to do something for Abraham's son. I trust him.
Listen.
Let me see if this is the one. You see, folks, when you seek, you got to have something in mind. He who aims at nothing has an uncanny way of finding. You got to have something in mind. The servant said, I want somebody who's going to be tender-hearted enough to give me water and take care of my animals. That's the kind of woman I want for Isaac. What's on your list? What have you written down? Have you? Don't just put down there, tall, dark, and handsome. Don't put on there 36, 24, 36. That stuff's not really important. Beauty's on the skin deep.
Go ahead, son.
And so Rebecca came over and did exactly what the servant asked God for the right woman to do. And he said, that's the one.
Yeah.
And he pulled out some rings. You see, if you're seeking somebody, brothers, don't be cheating.
Praise God.
I don't get an amen on that. You don't go take the $20 for a big bag. Do a little bit of that. Show with a bag of crystals and talking about, here's our man.
Help us, preacher. Go ahead,
I guess I better move on. He gave us some rings, some jewelry, and long story short, he found his wife for us.
Amen.
Now let me just give you this, and the lesson will be yours. Let me ask you some questions tonight. If you are single, seeking, you just don't want to be lonely, remember, have a proper view of God's involvement. He knows what you want. You need to tell him on a regular basis what you're looking for. That's better than looking on Match.com. You see, I'm not knocking that stuff all together. I'm just saying, realize that God is involved.
Right.
Ask him. Put prayer in a special place in your seeking.
All right. All right.
Pray about it.
Yes, Lord.
Pray about that. Well, why not? You pray about a job.
Yeah.
You pray about food. You pray for safety and protection. Why not pray about this? And then seek tangible guidance. So let me ask you tonight, do you know what you're looking for? Are you sensitive to what God wants for you? Are you willing to wait for the right over the right now? Are you willing to work with your choice? In this story, Isaac got Rebecca. And he worked with his choice. And they went on and they lived their lives. What you doing
there?
You see, if you don't want to be lonely, get to working on it.
Come on, preacher.
Know that God is involved.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Ask him to be involved.
Amen.
And pray about it. And ask him specifics. Lord, I want someone after your heart. That's what I mean by specifics. Don't go after, Lord, I want somebody who makes $100,000 a year. If you grab somebody to make $100,000 a year, that may not satisfy you. You might not be satisfying to him or her. So use good sense. Lord, give me somebody, please. Lead me to someone who loves you.
Yes, sir.
If you want to have a family, Lord, deem yourself.
somebody who loves you and who wants to help raise godly children.
Yes. Yes.
There's nothing wrong with something like that.
All right, yeah. Man.
Lord, lead me to someone who wants to really have somebody like me.
Yeah.
And be willing to wait.
Yes,
for him.
All right.
For her. Don't go running after the first person you see. Wait.
Yeah.
Take your time.
Yeah.
When a man shows up to visit here, don't start looking at his fingers. Having rain, though. He got on the ring.
Time.
Brown, I'm past 40. My clock is ticking. Who made your clock?
It's
all right.
Let it tick.
Yes,
let God do his thing.
Yes.
I've said more than enough tonight.
Amen.
But I'm trying to share with us how we can fight this battle. I just don't want to be alone. Last thing I'll say is, with God, you're never really alone. He's there and will supply what you need. It may not be what you want, but it will be what you need.
Yes, sir.
If you're here tonight and you're a child of God and you have a guilty heart concerning this or other matters, this is the perfect time to get it right.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Get yourself aligned with the Lord and say, Lord, help me to deal with this loneliness in a God-fearing way. I love you, Lord. You love me, Lord. I trust you, Lord. Let you do what you need to do with my life. And church, pray for me.
Yeah.
And encourage me along the way. And if you're not a child of God, why not step out of the pleading terms of Jesus Christ?
Yes.
He died for you. He was buried for you. He rose for you.
Yes, sir.
He ascended for you.
Yes, sir.
He says, come tonight.
All right.
Say that you believe that I'm the Son of God. Turn your heart to me in repentance.
Yeah.
And be buried, plunged into the water, which is being plunged into the blood of Jesus.
Yes, sir.
All your sins will be washed away. You'll be added to the spiritual family of the church.
All right. Yes, sir.
You'll have the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Who will help you with what I talked about tonight and everything else in your life.
Amen.
Stand up on your feet tonight. We beg you to come this evening. If you need to come.